So last week we looked at how it is that wisdom helps you to discern. And left to ourselves, we are prone to believing that financial wealth equates to being blessed, whereas difficulty would mean that we're among the unblessed group of people. Wisdom is the critical piece that helps us to discern that neither of those are necessarily true. Now, adversity, though it's not personally comfortable or desirable, does not mean that you are not blessed. Neither does having money mean that you are, above all others, blessed. Right? If you think about Charles Dickens' story, A Christmas Carol, you can see that one of the themes that he makes use of is to show and to teach that these things are not true, that Bob Cratchit, though he is poor, is actually more blessed than Ebenezer Scrooge. The Cratchits, though they are poor, and even though they mourn, towards the end of the story, they mourn the possibility, the death of Tiny Tim, they are still more blessed because they love each other and have loved each other. Whereas only, Ebenezer Scrooge is only left with a monstrously ponderous chain of greed. Now today, as we turn and look some more at the goal of the blessed life, we're looking at the fourth speech of the Father in praise of wisdom, this decalogue of praise to wisdom that we have in the first nine chapters of the book of Proverbs. As we look at this goal of a blessed life, we want to be asking some questions, like, how do you recognize a blessed life? What makes the difference in a life that is blessed and is a blessing, and a life that is, as the author of Proverbs will say, is unpleasant and full of harm? What's going to make the difference? As we look at Proverbs 3, 13 to 35, we're going to be looking at the treasure of wisdom, the search of the wise, and the blessing of the wise. And before Duncan Vincent comes forward to read our passage, let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would show us Jesus. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would illuminate the words of your scripture, that we might see the beauty of wisdom. And Lord, that we might discern things that maybe aren't readily apparent, but are nevertheless true, things upon which we might build our lives. And in building our lives upon those things, that we might bear fruit that would lead to our thriving and to your glory. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Proverbs 3:13. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. Her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the deeps broke open and the clouds dropped down the dew. My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or of the ruin of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come again tomorrow, I will give it when you have it with you. Do not plan evil against your neighbor who dwells trustingly beside you. Do not contend with a man for no reason when he has done you no harm. Do not envy a man of violence, and do not choose any of his ways. For the devious person is an abomination to the Lord, but the upright are in his confidence. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling of the righteous. Towards the scorners he is scornful, but to the humble he gives favor. The wise will inherit honor, but fools get disgrace. This is the word of God.
Thank you, Duncan. So, firstly, let's look at the treasure of wisdom. What must be repeated over and over again is that the mark of a blessed life is wisdom. Apparently, we are habitually driven to forget this. We believe that blessedness comes through comfort or possessions or satisfaction or achievement. We believe that blessing comes through an unhindered self-expression or of respectability. But if these things are pursued as blessings in and of themselves, apart from the blesser, we're going to find that they break our hearts because those things cannot bear the weight of a life. If we depend on the fruits of blessing rather than the one who blesses, our lives will eventually take the shape of a life that is cursed, the shape of one who is cursed. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. Blessedness belongs to the one who has wisdom and understanding. Wisdom is the mark of blessing. And the teacher offers his rationale in several ways. Firstly, he says that wisdom is more profitable. Now, how is it that wisdom is more profitable? Well, if you were to draw, say, like, you know, an XY axis, I should have maybe made an illustration of this, right, where you have wise and foolishness, wisdom and folly, on whichever axis that is, because I'm not a math person, and poor, or if I were to do it this way, poor and wealthy on this axis, right? You would see that wise and rich in the top right and poor and foolish on the bottom left. Now, thinking about these, we probably most likely would say, I'd like to be rich. Could I be rich? Because we tend to value those things that more desirably. But note this, that the rich and to be rich and to be a fool is never a permanent state. What does a fool do with his riches? It's better to be a poor and wise person than to be a rich fool down here. Sorry, I'm trying to reverse it in my head. I'm not doing a very good job. It is better by far to be a poor and wise person than to be a rich fool. And why is that? Because wisdom can be yours whether you are poor or rich, right? It can help you navigate both the adversities and the difficulties of life and the good circumstances as well, so that if you're going through life and you lose your riches, or if you come into wealth, you can do so in such a way that it won't ruin you. The gain from wisdom is better than gold or silver. Wisdom's profit is better than gold. So that's the first reason. Secondly, wisdom can actually be acquired whether you're poor or rich. You don't have to first become wealthy in order to purchase the riches of wisdom. There's no capital that is needed in order for you to gain wisdom. There's no capital that you have to put down except the capital that you already bring to the table, which is your need for wisdom. Right? For some, it is a cost, that reality is a cost that is maybe too much to bear. And why is that? Because they have to admit that they need wisdom. And that person has to have humility. And that's the stumbling block. Wisdom comes to those who are rich or poor if they turn to the Lord, if they turn and heed wisdom's call. Wisdom comes to those who fear the Lord. You don't need social connections. You don't need the right school or degree. You don't need to be from the right town or city. You don't need to know the insider language that's being used. You don't have to wear the right clothes. All you need to do is to turn to the Lord. Of all the desires that you could possibly desire, the desire for wisdom is the one that is worth pursuing. Because without wisdom, there is no true blessing. Third, wisdom is a blessing that leads to long life, riches, and ways that are pleasant and peaceful. Now, on the surface, on its face, that's not a guarantee for long life, right? In this life only. It's a principle that the wise already recognize. And that principle is that existence does not end with death. For those who will not turn and receive the Lord, there is only death that continues. However, for those who turn to the Lord and pursue wisdom, there is life even after death. And that existence is life. The wise know that living only for this world is foolishness, is folly. Billy Joel, this is going to date me, right? Some of you are probably like, who? Billy Joel was wrong when he said that only the good die young. Fools do it every day, right? And they do it more frequently because it's the foolishness that gets you killed, right? In the same way, a fool might get rich, but depending on what kind of fool they are, their riches will ruin them unless they are wise. But for the wise, there is peace and pleasantness and, most importantly, rest. Because they know the one in whose hand are held peace and pleasantness and rest. They know where that is found. A wise person is more likely to be wise with their money and their opportunities. It's no ultimate guarantee, right? There's no ultimate guarantee that we won't be ruined by circumstance, right? When difficulty comes. But the wise person will become a mirror, and the Lord will hold them up. The wise person becomes a mirror for those who are pursuing wisdom, right? Verse 18 says that she is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold fast, who hold her fast, are called blessed, right? This is the picture of the wise person. It mirrors Psalm 1 and what it says about the one who delights in the law of the Lord. It is a picture of thriving. There's pleasantness, there's peace, there's rest. And lastly, wisdom is what is behind the way that the world works. The wise know that the Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth by understanding. He established the heavens by his knowledge. The deeps broke open and the clouds dropped down the dew. Right? To know that the Lord is the one who is sovereign over these things, that it is not governed by chance, not by folly, not by indifference, not by capricious spite, not by darkness, not by cruelty. To know that the world in which you inhabit is not governed by a God who is those things, who are those things, right? It makes all the difference in how it is that you approach the day when you rise in the morning. So that's the treasure. And let's turn our attention to the search of the wise. Verses 21 to 27. See how the Father directs his son's attention to the treasure of wisdom, right? That it is found in the pursuit of wisdom and discretion. Right? Both the information and the knowledge and the wise application of wisdom as skill is what makes all of the difference. Right? For the one who's able to skillfully apply knowledge in steadfast love and faithfulness, right? I guess I want to just step out as an aside, and I just want you to hear that all through this series. Michael talked about it 2 weeks ago, where steadfast love and faithfulness are like this necklace that are around and rest right over your heart, right? That's the walk of the path of wisdom. You are walking in the Lord's steadfast love and faithfulness. Steadfast love and faithfulness. You need to never forget that. For the one who is able, right, to skillfully apply knowledge in steadfast love and faithfulness, they will wear life, that is a thriving life, like a beautiful necklace. It'll be like an Olympic champion's gold medal. A beautiful and honorable life will be the mark of the one who possesses wisdom. Not only will the one who pursues wisdom, right, will they find that they experience in the midst of this confidence and this peace in the facing of their fears. Having wisdom is to know about the one who is the source of blessing. Having wisdom is to live your life in the fear of the Lord. Right? And in doing that, you will be able to understand the meaning of some circumstances and how to navigate the complexities of life. How to apply that wisdom and that knowledge in circumstances. In verses 23 and 24, the teacher says, then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. You will lie down, and you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. That seems like quite a promise, doesn't it? Right? Maybe it feels like to you, well, I must just be a fool, because as soon as my head hits the pillow, as soon as my activity slows down enough, all of the things come rushing at me. Maybe I'm a fool. Maybe I don't understand the Lord. Maybe I'm not even a Christian, you might think. And this is the call, this is the reminder that what we are being called to in living a wise life is a call to faith. It is a call again to trust him. Notice what the teacher's saying. He's pointing us to the constant remedy when we do fear. He's not saying that they never. It's like it's where you turn when you do fear. He encourages his son when he's afraid. He says, do not be afraid of sudden terror or of the ruin of the wicked when it comes. And why isn't it? Why are they not to fear? Verse 26, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from getting caught. Right? Do you see that the Lord is the remedy? He is the source of confidence and the remedy for our fear. And it's going to be in those moments of fear that you're going to be most tempted to turn to yourself, to turn and lean upon your own understanding, to depend upon yourself. Then the teacher, he says in verse 27, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. Right? That right there is an invitation to faith. It's an invitation to trust. When you fear, let the Lord be your confidence, and then do the next right thing. Trust him. And what is it that will come to you? What will be yours? Righteousness. You will do right, and by faith in the Lord, you are made right. You are right. And then this brings us to this blessing, the blessing of the wise. Not only do those who pursue wisdom enjoy the blessing of wisdom, right? Peace, long life, prosperity, confidence, but the wise are a blessing to the community in which they live. Those living in the fear of the Lord, those who are living by faith in the Lord, who are trusting in the Lord with all of their heart and not leaning on their own understanding, they will be a conduit through which the nations will be blessed. Right? Unlike the simple, you remember this is one of those characters that we've been introduced to in Proverbs, the simple who sit on their hands, the wise do the right thing right away. And here's my favorite phrase about doing the right thing in the right way. Right? What sort of speed or demeanor is the person who is living wisely and is acting wisely? How do they behave? What do they do in response to these things that come? They move, they act, they step out in faith with bright alacrity. Those are two words that I just love to roll over in my mind. With bright alacrity, that is joyfully quick obedience. And those of you who are parents know that slow obedience is not obedience, is it? Right. That's trying to negotiate some leverage. With the child that you have who wants to negotiate, ask for reasons as why, right? Really what they're wanting to do is to be in control of the situation so that they can make the right decision, right, for them, right? They want some control over the circumstances, and sometimes you have to move with bright alacrity, joyfully quick obedience. And the one who is wise and is trusting in the Lord, that's what they do. And another thing that the wise do is that they use their imagination for good. That's why they're ready to act. They've been preparing themselves. Unlike the one who plans evil against their neighbor, the wise are thinking about plans by which they might be a blessing to their neighbor. They're aware of their neighbor's needs. They're aware of what they're facing and can anticipate what it is that they need. And it is such a gift, isn't it? When you've been the recipient of that kind of person who has that sort of imagination, who steps in and is aware of what it is that you're going through, it communicates a sense of withness, right? If you can anticipate another person's needs, that other person maybe begins to realize, hopefully can realize, that you've been thinking about them when they weren't around. Right? The wise, right, as they imagine and meditate, we read that the wise do not envy the man of violence, and he does not choose any of his ways. Right? We see this in the example of how it is that wisdom rescues the psalmist Asaph in Psalm 73, one of my favorite psalms. Asaph says that in his psalm that his feet had almost stumbled, his steps had nearly slipped. And what was the cause of that? The sort of slipping that he's talking about is a slipping of the most dangerous kind. It's a fall that will sink us. Why is it that he almost fell? He says in verses 4 through 10, "For I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. But they have no pangs in their death. Their bodies are fat and sleek. They are not in trouble as others are. They are not stricken like the rest of mankind. Therefore, rather than steadfast love and faithfulness being the necklace they wear around their neck, what they wear is pride. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes swell out through their fatness. Their hearts overflow with follies. They scoff and speak with malice. Loftily they threaten oppression. They set their mouths against the heaven, and their tongue struts through the earth. Therefore his people will turn back to them, and find no fault in them. Asaph wasn't in a place of stability as he was working through this because he envied the wicked. Right? Envying the wicked or choosing any of his ways is to deny the Lord who is sovereign. It's in effect saying that, Lord, because you've allowed this to happen, you are either impotent, you can't do anything about it, or you are unjust. To live that way is to live under a curse. To live believing that that is true is to live under a curse. It won't lead to your thriving. It'll lead to your destruction. But Asaph was delivered. What delivered Asaph? He was delivered when he went into the sanctuary of God. And in so doing, right, he experienced a turn. He saw the beauty of the Lord. He saw the Lord in his power and his might. He experienced a turn like Ebenezer Scrooge. He saw the true end of the wicked. And he saw himself, and most importantly, he saw the Lord. The beautiful irony of the gospel is that the Lord does not bless those who wrest blessing from the world. Blessing comes to the one who by faith trusts in him. The righteous are not rich and prosperous, but rather they are humble. That's what marks the righteous. The righteous are those who are able to receive the grace of God. The righteous are those who do not rely on their own efforts, their own energies, but they trust in the Lord with all their heart. The wise get grace. Right? They understand it. They see the beauty of it. They receive it. They enjoy it. And they will inherit honor. But fools will be disgraced. Do you need that kind of wisdom? Do you need the kind of wisdom that the Lord gives? The Apostle James says that the Lord gives wisdom freely without finding fault. If you want wisdom, would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, for far too long, I have compared myself to others. I have envied the wicked and believed that they were better off. I wanted to be like them. And all the while, I believed that I was better than they are. I do not understand, Lord, why tragedy comes upon those who love you. And not just those who dishonor and hate you. Lord, these things are too high for me. I see that what I need is wisdom. Wisdom to trust you in each and every moment. I need wisdom to be patient and wisdom to act decisively. I need wisdom to see that even Jesus Christ was not exempt from those sufferings common to our humanity and that he himself bore the scorn and contempt of the wicked and suffered under their schemes. Heavenly Father, there are many things that I do not know, but you know them all. And I entrust myself to you because you know. Help me to walk in the confidence of knowing a Father who would not withhold one thing in order to deliver me. Help me to walk knowing that I have a brother who showed the full extent of his love by dying for me. Help me to walk knowing that the Holy Spirit pours out the love of God in my heart.